we are talking. Somebody in the back, I need your help up here quickly. We are talking. We are talking about breakthrough. And how many recognize that you can be in a place and you can start to get used to enjoying that place, but there's many times there's things that God wants you to do. There's places, there's boundaries that God wants you to break through that boundary and go to a higher place. How many would say amen, recognize that's true? But with those higher places, many times there's resistance that you will encounter. And what you have to do is you have to be able to break through those places of resistance in order for you to be a higher place. So today, very quickly, and again, I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I want to express to you and I want to share with you something that I believe is going to help you break through. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been given a gift or something happened in your life, and when it happened in your life, you might have even said this, man, that's too good to be true? How many ever experienced that? You know what? I remember when, I'll just say this. This is absolutely the truth. I remember when my wedding day, and I remember I was up there with the pastor, and I was nervous, and I saw Tamara, and when I saw Tamara, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is absolutely too good to be true. Can somebody say amen to me? Now, let me brag on Tamara for a minute, and she didn't know I was going to say any of this stuff, before today, but the reality is she is very, very pretty, but she's also very, very smart. And she knows all kinds of stuff that you might not think she would know. But she knows we have renovated this church from one side to the other side. And guys in the back, did you ever get that picture? Okay, could you show us that picture? And so when Tamara and I first got here almost 20 years ago, the church, they're going to put it on the screen whenever you can. The church didn't look like it looks now. And we went through a lot of renovations. Well, in those renovations, I didn't have a general contractor. So I was kind of looking around the house, and I saw Tamara, and I said, hey, why don't you be my general contractor? And so she rolled up her sleeves. But when we first got here, that's what the church looked like. How many of you, when you rolled up today, the church didn't look like that? Amen. So, it's just what is what it was. And so we had the assignment of having to renovate that. Well, when we renovated the building and each part of the building, we just had, just show me what it looks like now. Do you have the now picture? It took a lot of work. We had a lot of work to do in every single, well, Tamara was my general contractor, and she learned all this and that. Well, years and years later, I had an electrician friend. He was a pastor friend of mine, and he was going to help us to do some electrical, and he said, well, just meet me over at Home Depot. So we were over at Home Depot, and we were on the electrical aisle, and we had a list that I had given him of electrical stuff that we needed to get. And Tamara was there, and she said, well, let me see that list. And she saw that list, and she said, oh, you know, 3/4 turn elbows. Oh, let me get those. And she got 4 of those. And then she said, and a half a turn, you know what, 680, you know what, whatever. Boom, and she grabbed that. Well, this guy was looking at Tamara like, huh? You know what I mean? Kind of did a Scooby-Doo. Oh, you know. And each time, and she was getting all this stuff. And then he looked at me, and he said, oh, my goodness. He said, Pastor, you are a really smart guy. And here's what he said. He said, you're a smart guy because you married her. Yeah. Amen. But he recognized, watch this, he recognized that how smart she was. How many of you have ever gotten something, and when it happened, you said, man, that's too good to be true? Well, let me tell you about God. God is too good to be true. Because let me tell you about God. God will give you things that you never could imagine. And he'll do that because of his great love for us. But here's what happens. for many of us, we think this. We think, well, you know what? But look at what I did in junior high. And I'm just asking, has anybody ever did something, you know, has anybody ever did something stupid in junior high? Amen. Raise your hand if that, come on, you're lying. Get your hands up. Okay, all of us have it. You know, high school, how many did some bonehead things in high school? Come on, get your hands up. How many did some crazy, it's just like, oh, I can't believe I did that in college. You know, how many did some stuff? Just craziness. You know what? And to be honest with you, and some things that we've all done, and they were things that, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, because you don't have to, because every one of us, you know what, has done that. Done things that you were ashamed of. Things that you weren't be proud of. Things that you're glad that nobody knows. Amen? Yeah. Amen. How many glad some things nobody knows? I got both my hands up, okay? So we all, but watch this. But what happens is, because of our past, because of this imagery that we have of who we were, we sometimes think that we are not worthy of the gifts, of the blessings that God wants to give us. And so it's not that God doesn't want to bless us. It's not that he doesn't want to give to us. It's that we restrict God from blessing us, because we just think that we're not worthy. We just think, no. I remember too well of who I was. And for many of us, those things carry over. You know what? Maybe it wasn't when you were junior. Maybe it was, you know, 2 months ago or 3 weeks ago or 2 days ago. You know what? Maybe it's your anger. You just get upset all the time, and you're just like, man, I try to. Maybe it's your mouth. You just, man, I'm not going to do that anymore. And you just, man, maybe you have a temper. Maybe, you know what? I don't know. All kinds of things. You know, how many know there's all kinds of areas we're dealing with? You know what I mean? Raise your hand if you have issues. You know what I mean? Come on, get your hands up. We all have issues. But it's those issues that sometimes keep us from recognizing how much God wants to bless us. I've got a couple examples in the Bible, and I just want to show you real quick. But there are men and women in the Bible that had things in their life that were impossible. Somebody say impossible.
Impossible.
See? Well, how many know with God, all things are possible? Amen. That's what the Bible says. And they had situations that were impossible. And yet, because they believed that God would bless them, they ask God for radical things. Here, let me give you a concept. This is in the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. We have not because we ask not. Say that with me. We have not because we ask not. See, and we all think, well, if God wanted me to have it, he'd just give it to me. Well, I'm telling you, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, no, there's things that I want you to ask of me, and because you won't ask of me, well, I'm just too whatever. I'm just too short. I'm just too fat. I'm just too whatever. You know, I could say, are you kidding me? I graduated from Pioneer High School. You know what? Who in the world is God's never going to bless, you know, somebody from Pioneer High School? And we all have our stuff. Amen? Do we not? We all have our stuff. You know what? I didn't graduate from college. I'm this, I'm that. Listen, God says he loves you and he cares about you and he wants to bless you. That's why he tells you. Let me tell you about me. All I want you to do is ask me. There was a guy in the Bible and he was blind. Now, how many know about you? You think you got problems. Amen. Sometimes we whine in our Cheerios. Amen. I tell people, don't whine in your Cheerios. All you're going to do is have soggy Cheerios. Amen? Amen? But how many know we can whine and we can complain and we can say, oh, it's like this. It's never going to change. Stop saying it's never going to change. Start to believe in a supernatural God that you can pray to that is real, and watch what he can do in your life. I'm just asking, how many have ever had God bless you and given you something that you thought could never, never, ever change? If that's you, raise your hand. See, all over this room. See, and here's why. Because God wants to bless you. But this man, he had something. And for some of you, listen to me. For some of you, you think, yeah, but this is impossible. Let me tell you what the Bible says. With God, all things are possible. And this guy was blind. Now, how many know, even now, how many know people aren't healing nobody of blindness. How many know, even with the medical, you know what, advancements, how many know blind people aren't going to the doctors, taking a pill, and walking away seeing? How many know that's not happening? And even back in the day, that wasn't happening. That really wasn't happening back there. And this guy hears Jesus. And when he hears Jesus, close enough, he starts shouting. And he starts saying, "Son of David! Son of David!" That's why they call Jesus. "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Can I tell you what? There's times that you'll cry out to God, and other people who don't believe in God, or other people who are just cynical. How many know we live in a cynical world? And cynical people, they'll try to shut you down. They'll tell you, "Oh, you're stupid. Oh, you're just religious. Oh, you're just whatever. Oh, that's not." No, let me tell you what. God is real. Amen. And they tried to shut him down. They said, no, you're don't bother him. Listen to me. We don't bother God when we ask him for stuff. Because he loves us. Amen. This guy wasn't bothering God. Amen. You know what bothers God? The people who are telling you to be quiet and stop asking. No, they don't know the character of God. God's character is good. Amen? Amen. I sing a song sometimes in the morning, and it's an old, old song, but I still like to sing it. And it goes like this. It's a real simple song, but it goes like this. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Good. And here's my favorite part. He's so good to me.
Amen, amen, amen.
See, you know what we believe? We believe that God is good. How many would raise your hand and say, "I believe God's good"? How many would raise your hand and say, "I believe God is powerful"? But it's different. That's what I'm teaching you. You want to break through the impossibilities? People tell you, "No, that'll never change. Your marriage will never get better. You're never going to get a good job. You're never going to get educated. You're never going to lose weight. You're never going to..." All these negatives. "You're never going to own a home. You're never going to..." All these negative people around you. Can I tell you what? We serve a supernatural God. We serve a God that is so powerful. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God held the oceans in the palm of his hand. That's the God we serve. And that is an all-powerful God. We believe that God is powerful. Amen? How many believe God is powerful? How many believe God is good? But what we don't believe is that last part. We could sing it like this. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. But here's what we need to get a revelation of. You're so good to me. Let me go back to the story. So this guy who's blind, how many know that's an impossibility? You ain't going to fix that. No. This guy cries out, and they tell him, "Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet." And you know what the Bible says? He shouted even more, "Son of David!" Don't you love that? Can I tell you what? God loves that. And Jesus was walking, and he heard this, and he stopped. You know why he stopped? Here's why. Because there's another place in the Bible, and God says this, that anyone who knocks, the door will be open. And anyone who seeks is going to find. You know what? God heard him knocking. And that obligated him to stop. And he turned around and he heard these people telling him to be quiet. And he said to those people, he said, "Hey, you tell that guy to come here." That guy came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus asked him something incredible. He asked him this. Listen to me. Jesus said this, "What do you want me to do for you?" We don't think God's like that. We think God's too busy, or he's, you know, doing something, or he doesn't care, or he's just a figment of our imagination, or he's against us. He's mad at us for those things that we did in junior high and high school and college and yada, yada, yada. You think this guy didn't do some boneheaded things? You think this guy was perfect? I guarantee he wasn't. Because let me tell you what, nobody's perfect. And neither was he. And yet Jesus asked him this. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" See, sometimes we forget the character of God. You know, how many know Jesus was God? When you saw Jesus, you saw God. That's one of the reasons why Jesus came, was to give us a revelation of who God was. And so, when you see Jesus, you see God. And God is saying to this guy, what do you want me to do for you? Let me tell you why. Because Jesus was a servant. We don't recognize that. What do you think he's doing when he died on the cross? He's serving every single one of us. What's he doing? He's taking your sin and my sin, and he's saying, here, you're not going to have to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. And anyone who will accept me into their heart, I'll come into their heart, I'll change them from the inside out, and I will live with them forever. That's the promise. Jesus is the most servant of servants. And so all Jesus is doing is what he's always done. Jesus is just saying, how can I serve you? What do you want me to do for you? Now, here's the incredible thing. Guess what this man says? This man says this. Here's what I want you to do for me. I want you to do something that is impossible. But I believe that you can do it. Amen. See, can I tell you what? When we will start, whose phone is that? Whose phone is that? Whose phone? Whose phone is it? Oh, that's my phone. Sorry. All right, let's see. Tell that guy to turn it off. Anyway, okay. How rude that guy is. Okay, I'm just joking. Okay. But Jesus is, he's going to ask, this blind man is going to ask for the impossible. Can I tell you what? See, sometimes we have not because we ask not. We think, no, that's impossible. That can't happen. Stop saying that. With God, all things are possible, the Bible says. Amen? Amen. And so here's what he does. He says, God, here's what I want. I want to be able to see. And Jesus doesn't say, you ask too much. Can I tell you why Jesus didn't say that? And listen, Jesus is saying the same thing to you today. Just ask. Stop thinking I won't do it. You say, but Pastor, the doctor said this. But Pastor, you know what I mean? We've gone to the best counselors. We paid a lot of money for this marriage counseling, and we're still, God says, start believing that I can fix your marriage. Pastor, you don't know, my kids are out of control. Start believing. Start asking. But you know what? But I've had this pain. You know, the doctor showed me the x-rays. You know, and the doctor said, no, this can't ever. I have to learn to live with the pain. Well, can I tell you what? Dr. Jesus don't say that. Amen. Amen? I said, Dr. Jesus don't say that. I know that's not proper English, but again, I graduated from Pioneer High School, okay? Okay, but what I'm saying is, Jesus loves when people will ask him for the impossible. I remember, do you remember bragging about your dad? Do you remember bragging about your dad? Do you remember the gleam in your dad's eye when you would brag about your dad? Man, it made you feel so good because you felt like, you know what, or vice versa. Do you remember when your dad would brag about you? You know what? My dad was, he's gone to be with the Lord. But my dad was so awesome. And you know what? And if you met him for 10 minutes, guess what you'd find out about me? Guess what you'd find out about me? You'd find out that I was the butterfly champion at Pioneer High School. It's like, hey, nobody's even talking about that. But my dad would bring it up. Amen? It's like, oh, did you know my son? You know, and it was so funny because, you know what? I mean, not that that wasn't an accomplishment, but how many know Pioneer High School is not known for our athletics? You know what I mean? How many know to be the butterfly champion of Pioneer High School was really not a big deal? Amen? Come on, somebody. You can say amen to this. But to my dad, it was a big deal. Amen? I mean, my dad is like, you know what, Mark Spitz, who's he? You know what I mean? I don't even know who he is. You know what, Phillips, what was that guy's name? What? Michael Phelps, who's he? You know what? My son is the champion of Pioneer High School. Okay. Now, you know what? And let me tell you what. How did that make me feel when he would say that? Oh, man. I start thinking, yeah. Can I tell you what? God, in the same way, when you start expecting and bragging about God, saying, I believe that God is going to fix my marriage. I believe God is going to heal my body. I believe that God is going to do, is going to establish a business that I can, you know, be a blessing to my kids and my grandkids and other people around me. I believe that God is going to do the impossible. Can I tell you what? God says, yes, absolutely. And let me prove it to you. In that passage, he heals this man of his blindness. But then when he's done healing him, now this guy can see. Can you imagine? He can't see with Jesus. He can't see. But after he's done healing him, Jesus says this. And he says to all these people who are around. And there's all kinds of people around. There's people around still who are reading this story. That I could tell you this story. And here's what Jesus says to them. And here's what Jesus says to us today. Here's what he says. This man's faith has made him whole. In other words, he's saying to all of us who won't believe in a miracle, who will say, no, 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 I believe that God is powerful, but he won't do it for me. He's to say, no, 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 no. Understand, if you will step out in faith, if you will start to ask God for your miracle, I don't care how impossible it seems, if you will start to believe for the impossibility to happen in your life, guess what? I'll let it happen to you. Amen? Amen. And that's what he says. He says, let me tell you what. Let me tell you why this man got healed. And we understand, ultimately, it's all God. Ultimately, God is the one who provided the power. But here's what I learned from that passage, that every single one of us have the ability to step into the supernatural. Every single one of us have the ability to walk in things that seem too good to be true. But some people will believe it, and some people won't. Some people will ask, and some people won't. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the ones that ask. I want to stop taking the limitation. I want to start taking the limitations off God. I want to start walking in the supernatural. I want to start doing things that people would say, man, how does that happen? Why in the world are all those awesome blessings happening to him? I want to say, you know what? Why is in the world is all those cool things happening to these people here? And I'll say, I know why. Because they believe in a supernatural God. Because they have the willingness to ask for big things and to watch God, watch what God will do for them. Can somebody receive that today? Can somebody receive that today?
I love when I'm watching some of the sports with my family and I see people in the audience and they have the John 3:16 banners. How many of you have seen that? Where they're putting out there the fact that Jesus Christ died for each one of us, that we could have a relationship with the Father. In the Bible it says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. That is certainly an honor that God bestowed upon each one of us to give us that opportunity. It is the veterans that we honor today have done that very same thing. You know what? So again, personally, thank each one of you. You know, Pastor Drew and I really have a heart for our military and for the veterans, and we are grateful. Josh, thank you so much for helping us to let that heart be seen. You know what? And if any of you, if there's anything we can ever do, please do not hesitate to call upon us, as we would love to serve you as you have served us. And it would be our pleasure to do that. So please know that. I wanted to address a couple of things that Pastor Drew said. we have an opportunity because of that John 3:16. What Jesus did, when he laid down his life, he gave each and every one of us the opportunity to become sons and daughters. Jesus is the bridge back to God the Father. He can be that Father to us if we want to take the bridge back to him. And he wants that for us, which is why he sent Jesus. Jesus wants that, which is why he laid down his life, that we would have that opportunity to be sons and daughters. So many people have such a misunderstanding of who God is. I did not grow up in the church like Pastor Drew did, quite the opposite. Many of you that make this your home, you know that I didn't even understand that Easter had anything to do with Jesus at the time that I had met Pastor Drew. And I had made a comment, you know what, that Easter was so stupid one day. And I could see his eyes just got huge as he looked at me. And I knew I had said something wrong, but I didn't know what that was. And so I said, what? And he said, Tamara, Easter is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I said, it is? And I said, and then he said, what do you think Easter is? And I said, it's about the Easter bunny. And it's about eggs, right? So, I mean, it seems a little bit silly, but it's the truth. Why would I know anything different? I didn't go to church growing up. You know what? We didn't study the Bible growing up in my home. Why would I know anything different? But we had Easter baskets, and my mom hid eggs, and we would go on egg hunts, and we would do all of that. So that's all it was to me. So I'm 20-something. And I have this moment in my life. I have that prior to that moment, I have an overwhelming urge to go to church. And it's like, why do I want to go to church? I've never been to church a day in my life. Why? I can see in the Bible now that God draws us, that he knocks. See, God wanted that relationship with me from the very beginning. And I'm on this journey then where I find him. And I end up accepting Jesus as my Savior and becoming a daughter to God. It is such a personal, beautiful relationship that God wants for each one of us. I'll never forget having a difficult time in our marriage. Pastor Drew and I, this is prior to us having kids. It was about having kids. And I did not understand where Pastor Drew was coming from. Men are hard to understand, huh, ladies? So I did not understand where he was coming from. And worse, he couldn't explain it to me. And I was becoming very, very frustrated. And here's what I did. I went to my father. And I said, Lord, he's your son. You deal with him. I don't know what to do. It's what I did. It's the truth. Why do I do that? Because he's very much my father. Because I can do that. So God did deal with him. And instead of having a bunch of strife and mess going on in our relationship, God was able to speak to Pastor Drew. You know what I'm saying? And just work this whole thing out. Another time, as I'm at home, and now this is after kids, and I'll never forget, again, we have this situation going on in our marriage. Y'all have issues too, don't you? No one has that Disney marriage, do they? Where you just get married and live happily ever after? Because I haven't seen that out there. So, neither us, no matter what we're taught as children, amen? And so it's another one of those days, and I'll never forget this. I turned to Pastor Drew, and I said whatever it was I had to say, and I flipped the vacuum on, and I began to vacuum. And as I was vacuuming, the Lord said to me, he said, don't you ever speak to my son like that again. And he corrected my tone in which I was speaking to Pastor Drew. Drew was wrong, I was right, I was frustrated, and the rest was history. As the Lord said that to me, a tear just began to roll down my eyes, because I thought, Lord, he's the one. It really helped me. And I want, the reason why I share it with you, I want you to understand that God the Father is so in love with you. And we don't understand that. We get so much jazz from all over the place. But what we really need to do is just get truth from the Word of God. On that day when I said to Pastor Drew, Easter is so stupid. I was a very new Christian. I bet you I had been a Christian for 30 days at that point. And after that moment happened, I felt very embarrassed. I felt so stupid. It's like, how can I be 20-something and have no idea what this guy just told me? Don't know, but it was the truth. And so I felt very, very, I was ignorant of the things of God. I didn't know anything about the things of God. And when that ignorance got exposed that day, I felt embarrassed. And Pastor Drew, you know what, seeing that obviously all over my face, because I didn't say anything, but he could see it as fast as I could see that I had said something wrong. And he said to me, Tamara, I know you don't know this, but the fact that you don't know a lot about God is going to be a blessing to you. Because now you can be taught right. You can learn the Word of God just for the truth that it is, because there's a lot of junk out there that people are taught that doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God, and they misunderstand who God is. Well, after many years of serving the Lord now, I can testify to you and say he was 300% right that day, and I have found that over and over and over to just be a blessing that I can read it and believe it and not have someone pulling at me or some past pulling at me that's not how it is. And so I very much enjoy my relationship with the Lord. I am his daughter. That is a blessing to me. I can go to him in all kinds of situations. He has helped me to be a better mother. He's helped me to be a better person, wife, just the whole gamut. He's in my life every day. And that's what he offers to each one of us, to be sons and daughters if we want to. And as we become those sons and daughters, we have the privilege of going to him and asking. And he's there for us and he comforts us. And he helps us through all kinds of situations in our life.
We're going to dismiss you in a minute, but if you would like to ask Jesus in your heart, we're just going to say a simple prayer, and we're believing that very thing that will happen, that all we have to do is ask, and God will do the supernatural. So right now, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, I'm going to say a simple prayer. I want you to repeat that prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I ask for your help. I want you to come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I thank you for dying for my sins, for putting all my junk on you. I love you, and I thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we believe, amen, amen. We believe if you prayed that prayer that Jesus has come in your heart. And I encourage you to find a good Bible-believing church and start going to that church. Huh, let me think of a good one for a second. Oh, yeah, Hope Community Church. But I encourage you to come to a church, start going to that church, start listening and learning, just like my wife did, about the things of God, and God will change you from the inside out. Amen?